Welcome to Celebration of Success, the official podcast of Career Source, Citrus Levy Marion, highlighting partnerships, services, and solutions that work for our businesses and job seekers. And now on to today's program, brought to you by Wiley Productions Network of Excellence.
Well, welcome back to Celebration of Success. I am so excited to be joined in the studio today by two of the most wonderful people I know, and they happen to be with the Ocala Human Resource Management Association, which, as we should know, is a chapter of the Society of Human Resource Management, which is a wonderful national organization that handles all things HR, and HR is very much on our mind right now. Today, we're going to be talking about meeting some of the challenges, the HR challenges that the professionals have to deal with. And in the studio, I am joined by Ashley Shorb. She's the Director of Human Resources for Hospice of Marion County and currently serves as president of ORMA, which, as we mentioned, is a chapter of SHRM. And prior to joining hospice, Ashley served as senior HR manager for Colon Built Development and as vice president of HR for Mid Florida Credit Union. She is also a very active partner with Career Source in planning the annual Heart of HR conference that's going to be coming up in April. More on that in just a bit. We are also joined by Darlene Stewart Goddard. And she has been a member of the Society of Human Resource Management since 1996, when she was only, about 5-6 years old?
I was about 5 years old.
Amazing, amazing. And is a member of ORMA as well. Her career spans several industries, including healthcare, warehousing and distribution, manufacturing, and automotive retail. She is also past chair of Career Source Citrus Levy Marion, and she's currently still on the board of directors. Thank you very, very much. And she trains and coaches on a variety of HR and business-related topics. Also, Darlene, who is a world traveler extraordinaire, she is also the author of How to Train Your Manager and Becoming a Solo Traveler, both available on Amazon.com. Putting in a little plug. She has her books here. You can't see them, but I see them. I have both of them, actually. And Darlene, you're also writing your first novel. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wow. Wow. Okay. We'll have you back on to talk about some of these other things in more depth, because you stay very busy, to say the least. All right. So let's face it, ladies. Today's HR professional needs to be resilient, resourceful, and with rapid advances in technology, I mean, every single day, every minute of every day, have to be rewired to recruit, train, and retain the workforce needed for businesses to succeed. I think we can all agree on that. So, tell me, what are some of the challenges you are seeing in your professional capacities right now?
There's a lot. the workforce has changed a lot, even in the last 10 years. We have 5 generations working in the workforce now, 6 coming in. There's AI is the kind of latest, greatest terminology that's being used. And how can we use it to benefit us? Because there are ways that we can do that. But one of the biggest things I think is there's a real focus on employee-centric employment. So, you know, making sure that we're doing things to retain, you know, so there's retention, focusing on mental wellness for our employees, because people are dealing with a lot of stuff outside of work. They're stressed out and trying to figure out if there's ways we as an employer can help mitigate some of that for them, give them resources that are available that we can give them. But those are kind of, and then I'd say change management. You know, there's companies are coming together all the time and trying to work through that and have good change management plans in place in order to help alleviate any stress for your employees.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say that, because I looked up, HR management challenges. Number one, change management, 48%. Leadership development, 35%. HR effectiveness measurement, 27%. organizational effectiveness, 25%, compensation, 24%. The list goes on. I don't want to fill in all the blanks for you. Darlene, you've had so many different companies that you've worked for. I think I first met you when you were with Winco, when you were first on the board chair. Mm-hmm. You know, from your perspective and from all those different industries, what are some challenges that you are seeing right now?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is, like you said, employee value or employee centric. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's been pretty much the same over all the years that I've been in HR. The problem is that we have employees who aren't being told that what they are doing makes a difference to somebody else.
Okay.
So they are just fixing the widget and moving it down the line, like at Winco. But the thing is if they have the widget and it's got a little burr on the edge, mm-hmm. the person who gets that to do something else with it next, that causes a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
So employees have internal customers and internal suppliers. And we don't really get into that. We just...
Right.
So it's the old story about the guy who's placing bricks on a wall. And one person asks this person, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm just putting bricks up on this wall." He asks the next bricklayer, and he's building a cathedral. Oh. And they're doing exactly the same thing.
Wow.
That's where training and helping managers to take the time to explain that worth.
And as Ashley pointed out, for the first time in history, 5 generations in the workforce at the same time, and we're about to get the 6th. So as you mentioned, Darlene, it's the internal customers as well as our external. So if I am, say, a seasoned employee, been around the block a few times, and maybe somebody comes in who's in their mid-20s, there sometimes can be friction between the established employee who says, I know what I'm doing, I've been here, it's not my first rodeo, and the new blood who says, well, it's time to have a fresh perspective. But we can all learn from each other. Do you have some thoughts in terms of how we go about doing that?
I think a lot of that comes down to leadership in the culture of an organization. You have to have a culture of an organization that understands and values both sides, mm-hmm. both the one who's got the institutional knowledge, who's been there a long time or been doing that job for a long time, and the one who's coming in with the fresh ideas. Mm-hmm. What I think we talked about in our meeting this past week, actually, they were talking about even having reverse mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
So where the younger person is actually mentoring the one right. who's been there. Maybe, maybe it's things with technology or, a variety of different things,
right.
the latest and greatest way to do something. And having that mutual relationship. And I think if you can have a culture where that is supported and you have mm-hmm. support from the leadership on both, the traditional mentorship and the reverse mentorship so that they both feel valued,
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
both feel like what they're doing is important and that they can help their colleagues,
right.
I think that is a big part of it.
Right. Because we do know with the younger millennials and everything, that if they're not getting the job satisfaction, mm-hmm. if they're not feeling valued, mm-hmm. they're going to move on versus someone who's looking at the end of a career maybe is like, oh, it's only 5 years right. till I retire. I'm not going to start over again. So any thoughts in terms of how we can approach both kind of ends of the spectrum and help them both feel valued and seen and heard? I'm looking at you, Darlene.
Mm. Well, we're seeing between inflation and people who are entering their retirement years mm-hmm. and not being able to quit mm-hmm. and dealing with their Parent PLUS loans mm. that they signed up for their children to go to school, and now the bill is coming due. There's a lot of that going on out there, and one in particular is a neighbor of mine, and she is working the night shift stocking one of the local stores in Dunellen
wow.
to make extra money. Mm-hmm. Because living on Social Security isn't enough, and the prices of everything has gone up, and they were renting. So mm-hmm. there wasn't the stabilization of the monthly payments mm-hmm. and everything. But you know what? She said she has more fun working with the kids on the night shift than she's ever had working before. So she's embracing, and she's in her mid-70s, mm-hmm. okay. And she said, plus she also gets a lot of good exercise moving those boxes around. Gosh.
I would imagine. But I think you hit on something that every HR professional, every business owner is dealing with, every manager in a company, is the stress and the strain, the work-life balance, and mm-hmm. certainly... You know, our workforce and how we do things and what our expectations might be have certainly taken a hard shift mm-hmm. through COVID. Yep. We're seeing a lot of companies that said, we don't need to return to brick and mortar mm-hmm. when people might really have a desperate need to have that human interaction. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing companies that are demanding that staff come back at least 3 times a week when they're saying, well, no, we kind of got used to this. We sort of like this. I don't know. It's there's also the studies that are very popular right now. And Rusty, if you're listening, cover your ears, where they're saying, you know, we tried the experiment of 4-day work week. Mm. We love it, and we're not going back. And I'm talking from the CEOs of the company. How might that play into some of the stresses, the challenges, Ashley, that you're facing right now?
Well, you know, you make a lot of good points. The workforce has completely changed in the last few years since COVID for all of the reasons that you said. I think companies have to figure out what they want their workforce culture to be. Mm-hmm. Do they, you know, is it important to them that everybody's in the office all the time? Is it not? Is there the ability to be flexible based on what someone would prefer? And a lot of that depends on the job. It depends mm-hmm. on what they do. You know, there's some jobs that it's impossible.
Right.
For them to work remotely. There's other jobs where it doesn't make sense for them to have to come in the office, but then that person might want that collaboration right. with other people in the area. So, you know, I think being as an organization determining what you can and cannot allow to be done, and then having the ability and desire to give some flexibility and options to where the employees feel like they have a little bit of say mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. what it is that they do and how they do it. Mm-hmm. And when you give that empowerment to them, that shows that they are valued.
Right.
And that's a big part of what we're talking about is, you know, how do we show employees that they're valued? Well, if you right. give them some say in how they do their work, that goes a long way.
Yep. You know, so true, so true, so very true. Darlene.
One of the things that I can add on to that is that managers oftentimes don't realize how creative mm. and smart that their team is, mm. and that if we give them some of that opportunity, they feel empowered, number one. They feel like they're valuable to the company, and number two, they come up with better ideas because they're the ones that are actually doing the work every day.
Absolutely. But sometimes it's kind of hard to convince the C-suite that is an option. I don't know.
Especially if you have a C team that's, you know, been around in the workforce for a long time, very traditional. You know, we've always, the expectation has always been their whole career that, you know, people come to the office, they come to the office mm-hmm. every day, they do their job, and then they go home. And I think sometimes that's harder for someone who's had it ingrained for a long career, which a lot of times people on those teams, you know, they've worked their way up to that, sure. which means they've been doing it for a while. And that's why I also think it's important to have, you know, I'm going to transition this to say, I think it's important to have someone, an HR professional on that C-suite, mm-hmm. on that mm-hmm. C-team, who can speak to this, because we're ingrained in all this stuff. This is what we do, mm-hmm. is know the pulse of the organization, know what the people want, know how it can impact different areas, know what other organizations are doing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have an HR person who has a seat at that table, you're missing out on a lot of valuable information that will help in doing things like making people feel valued, right. giving acknowledgement, and So I think organizations who don't have that yet, I think it's really important to think really hard about it, because having that professional on that team can make a significant difference in the impact and success of your organization.
Especially since we know one size does not fit all. Right. So frontline staff, mm-hmm. first responders, healthcare, people working various shifts in a manufacturing mm-hmm. they don't have the luxury, no. did not have the luxury during COVID of working from home. I was very blessed to be able to do that, and I had a company that could support that, and we had ways that we could provide the sort of frontline services to career seekers that, you know, it was not easy. Mm. It was tricky, but those folks had to go in, rotate in to the office during very scary times. So I have nothing but the utmost admiration for anyone who was dealing with that. But each company is different. Mm-hmm. And as you said, has to figure out what does that success look like for them. Right. And I love the idea of inviting the actual folks who do the work to help them create the architecture for that. So any other immediate challenges that you can think of that are, I mean, there are a few. We don't want to bludgeon the people going, oh, there's no hope.
Well, the key is if you've got a well-trained team, mm-hmm. you're not going to have the turnover. So you're not always bringing somebody new in, uneducated in that particular space. Yeah. So that's when your productivity goes up, your teamwork starts mm-hmm. to gel, because mm-hmm. people get to know each other.
Right.
And when they're working together on a project, then they've got some input into how they actually are involved in
right.
how their work is made. So all of that we're talking about, talking about maybe even just basic listening skills mm-hmm. for leadership, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. those kinds of things where we can, as an HR person, can speak into giving them some ideas of how they can relate better to the line staff.
Very, very true.
And I'll add to that. I think, you know, you make a really good point about training, but not just training our staff, but training the leaders. This has been something that has been for years, you know, and it still is a thing. When you have an open leadership or management position, who do you promote? You promote the one who is best at the job. Mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. may not have any management or leadership experience, and then you put them in that role expecting that they're going to be a great leader because they're great at doing the job, and then don't give any training, and you're just setting them up to fail. Not only are you setting them up for failure, but then that whole team is going to be significantly impacted, and you could have a whole team that has significant turnover just because the resources weren't put into making that training for that new manager mm-hmm. a priority.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, and I've seen that. Mm-hmm. I've seen that in a couple of...
And it's in every industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting. The last podcast we focused on CareerSource and Talent Center's business services. And one of the things we talked about were recruiting tools and incentives to help with the training, both for the staff doing the work and then hopefully even for leadership. Mm-hmm. But what I'm sort of hearing, make sure I get this all right, we've been talking about the need for employee engagement in the mm-hmm. process. We've mentioned artificial intelligence in the workplace and how that's changing how we might be doing business. Leadership, the need for leadership best practices. You mentioned employee health, mental health, and wellness mm-hmm. being so critical at a day and age when we have the stresses and the strains. Right. I'm wondering, and I'm teeing this up, where might somebody be able to get, you know, some really good insight on all of these challenges that HR professionals need to meet?
Well, Laura, we happen to have an amazing conference coming up. It is called the Heart of HR. Mm. It will be held April 19th at the World Equestrian Center. It is all day, 9 to 4, I think is the
eight to four.
We have a lot of different speakers coming in to talk about all these same things that we just touched on. And this is a great opportunity, not just for HR professionals, but if you are, maybe you're a small business owner who doesn't have an HR professional,
right.
Or, you know, you're a member of a C team who either doesn't have an HR professional, or you're a leader and you just want to learn
right.
about people, because whether or not you have a title of HR or not, if you are a leader, you are dealing with people.
Absolutely.
So it's a fantastic opportunity. This is our third year partnering with
CareerSource. Third year in person.
Yes.
We've done 4 years altogether, yes. But yeah, third in person.
Yes,
yeah.
at the World Equestrian Center. So it's a great partnership. We put on an amazing event. I would encourage all of you to attend. And I think you will get a lot out of it. And for those who are certified, like Darlene and myself are, there will be lots of recertification credits available to
absolutely.
You as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At no additional charge. So that's fantastic. Yes.
And I wanted to add one thing. You guys have put together some world-class speakers mm-hmm. here. We're not talking about Joe Schmo who just lives down the street.
No. Yeah.
You're bringing in some high-quality yeah. people. So it's going to definitely be worth.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, and if for no other reason, go to experience John Petz.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
amazing. He is an internationally acclaimed workplace motivational humorist, a best-selling author, and a world-class magician that will boggle your mind. Mm-hmm. And he is our MC and keynoter, and it is worth the price of admission, I will tell you that.
It's, yes, indeed. John is an amazing person, and he has been the MC of the HR Florida State Conference for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very lucky to have him MCing our event again this year. He travels around the world doing presentations, and you do not want to miss him.
And if you want more of him, that sounds weird. I'm sorry, John. there is the HR After Dark reception mm-hmm. that will be over at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of the restaurant, but and that's a nice reception on the 18th, the mm-hmm. night before the conference. So lots of fun, lots of engagement. Mm-hmm. You will get to network. There will be vendors. Mm-hmm. We have great presentations. So if you are interested, and I'll put this in the information area with this podcast, go to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/heartofHR, all capital letters, Heart of HR 2424. And you can learn more. You can get your tickets. You can, you can still sponsor. You
yes,
want to sponsor. There's sponsorship opportunities. And I should give a shout out to the CEP, the Ocala Metro mm-hmm. Chamber and Economic Partnership, CEP, and the North Central Florida Media Group. They are currently our primary sponsors, mm-hmm. And there's room for more. So Darlene, you're giving me a look like there's something you definitely want to add.
No.
No?
No, I can't think of anything else. I mean, I think you covered it all, so.
Again.
I'm good.
The how to be a solo traveler and the how to train your manager.
What do you know? Just what we were talking about. Looky there.
On sale now at Amazon.com.
Well, I tell you, I had to deal with managers who were not trained for 35 years. Mm-hmm. I had to write a book.
And that's just what you were saying. That's exactly what Ashley was saying. Yeah. So there is a book. So, well, ladies, thank you so very much. And I think we both hope to see you, all of you, out at the Heart of HR conference on April 19th.
Yes.
And until next time, it's been Laura Burns for Celebration of Success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.